Okay, I'm doing a series called Oaks of Wine, and we got the name is James and Peter said, let's think of a name for this evening service that we're doing here. And then they said, no, it sounds more like a series. So when James said to me, do you want to do something? I said, yeah, in my heart, I want to do the series for everybody. And so Oaks of Wine. And then I thought, when I was on the third one, I thought, well, what is Oaks? And Jennifer Weir came to me last year sometimes, and she said to me, Michelle, you are God's oak tree. And I take a prophetic word like that from a person like that very strongly. And she's so pure, and I looked it up. And I went home and looked it up. And then I found it in my prophetic book, which all these prophecies over my life, and I keep them and I read them. And I honor what God has said over my life, and I write them down, and I continually read these words over my life, because this is a destiny, a plan that God's given to me. And when he gave it to me, it's not only the people from this church. I got the same message from Teresa Dedman, Danny Silk, Lance Jacobs, and all over. The people that come from all over have given me a very strong prophetic word, and all lines up to be the same. So when Jen came to me and she gave me this painting, she said, oaks, you're an oak tree. I looked up the oak tree, and the oak tree is a symbol of life, strength, wisdom, nobility, family, loyalty, power, long life, heritage, and honor. And that's just double grace over our lives. And that's what I want for everybody, to lead a life as strong as the oaks and digging in the wine of God. So that's where the oaks of wine comes from. And also, if you have a look at the oak tree, it's regal in its presence, and it attracts lightning. And lightning brings rain. Rain to me, is, lightning is God, and rain is Holy Spirit, and that brings power in the earth, and then things grow, and grow abundantly when there's rain. And the size of the oak tree, and its long life, oak trees live to 200 years. And God gave me a word. He said, you're going to be like Enoch. You're going to be here until I come back. So I feel sorry for you. Want to get rid of me. All right. An oak tree is a living legend, and it's representing something true, wholesome, stable, and noble. And when you go into a place that's very dry, and when an oak tree is growing in a place that's very dry, it digs its roots in. It doesn't cry at the top, give me water. It digs its roots in. And that's what I feel we must do. When you're going through things in life, you've got to dig your roots in the Holy Spirit and receive from the Holy Spirit and nobody else. Okay? Man cannot help you, only Holy can through times of trouble. And when you're worshiping, you're actually digging your roots in. All right? When you're praising, you're praising God. But when you're worshiping, you're digging your roots in. And an oak tree is also considered the green realm. And the oak tree is very generous with its gifts. And just as any good ruler shares its bounty among the kingdom, so we must be true oaks of society. And I thought it's very apt for South Africans, oaks. That's just a little note. But that's what my heart is, to see God's power reigning in your life. And when you've got the power of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit burns in you, he releases energy. And when he burns wood, energy is released. When he burns oil, energy is released. Gas, energy is released. And with the Holy Spirit burning inside of you continually, energy is released over your life. But when the Holy Spirit's burning, the gifts are also released. Joy, peace, love, kindness. Those are also released out of you. And those are for the people around you. So when you're burning with the desire of the Holy Spirit on you and it releases out of you, the manifestations of the fruits are awesome. And we cannot live without the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at the Acts people in the early days of Pentecost. There was dramatic boldness in those days. There was a high level of spiritual gifting, massive salvations, fruits, and extraordinary miracles were upon their lives. Now, not just a miracle that you see that, you come up here and you prayed and inside your ears popped something. I'm talking about God showed me that when the people come in and somebody's going to stand here without an arm, we're going to go and pray for them and their arm is going to grow. right in front of you. That is an extraordinary miracle that we want to see. Okay? And that the sacrifice, the joy and the peace with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the reason why I feel that we must just build up us as solid oaks of wine, solid, is that God showed me that in Highway, He's blessing Highway with 30,000 to 40,000 people coming in. And He wants, there's no ways James and Jimmy and Steve and Peter can handle 30,000 people. We have got to be the ones stepping out. And how He showed me is that it's coming in groups and waves of people are coming in and went in, and we're going to put them out other places. But don't worry about that. The waves of people are coming in. Okay. And when we're walking down the aisle, we're walking down, we're going to see exactly what's wrong with them. And they'll be healed instantly. And there's no 6 months counseling or stories and stories. There's only God's glory in their life. Okay. And we want to see the total transformation of our thoughts into the kingdom. We want to live a kingdom mindset. And everything you do comes out with who you are. And that's why I just want us to focus on God's face. Because what you focus on manifests in front of you, and you can only produce the fruits of God's love when you're looking at His eyes, when you're seeing His face. God wants this church to be a firestorm to destroy the works of the devil. And it's very important at times such as this that we're walking in such wholeness that nothing is affecting your life, because you are so full of Christ that when a wave or something comes, you say, there's no room for you. What are you doing here? There's no room. Come try, but there's no room. And that's who you must be. There's no room anymore for this that's going on in your life. There's no more room. We just absolutely know how to be overcomers. We know how to stand strong. We know that our roots are, this church will not be shaken. And the people, you are the church. The building's not the church. You are the church. And you got to start saying, I will not be shaken in times of shaking. Because God is my cornerstone. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand firm. And I'm going to listen, and I'm going to get a hunger, which is a gift. And I'm going to get that hunger from God. Because I want the hunger of the Word. I want to lead a different life. I don't want to carry on with the same. You got the fullness of Christ, but there's nothing full about us acting up fullness. We're not glowing from the inside out yet, are we? We're not walking past wheelchairs and people jumping up yet, are we? But we will be. And it's going from strength to strength. We will be. And God showed me an amazing thing. I can see lots of things. Only good things. I actually can't see anything else. I'm very glad about that. But anyway, I can see. Sure, I can only see good things. And one thing I can see is you've all got wells, deep, deep wells. And those wells are for eternity. And God showed me how to see into your well. And when you go into somebody's well, so I know some people are like, oh, what is she talking about? Sorry, just be with me, please. Just bear with me. When you go into somebody's well, and God will show you that, like, maybe when they're 8 years old, they've got a problem. And you'll go back into their timeline, and you'll look at them at the 8 years old, and you'll pull out that problem, and you'll replace it with God's love. Instantly healed on that problem. And you can go forward in their timeline, right, into their well, and it's just beautiful to go into people's wells, because you can see their destiny, and you can see the scrolls, you can see their mantles, and you can go forward into their timeline, and you pull out what God's put in their heart. And those are prophetic words over their life. Those are the dreams and the desires that God put in before you're born. But we can see them. And you can pull those dreams and desires forward. And you can pull them into this timeline, into now. Because what you speak, that is what not, you can bring it forward to what is. So, what at the moment, a lot of you feeling just got a trickle. Your wells are just trickling out. You know, you come in, you just a little trickle bit of glory and go home. They feel like they're really dry. Okay, we want to all work together so all of us are flowing together. We want us all to cope with the things in our life, to get the things out of our lives so we can all be flowing wells. All right? Because in that well is your destiny. And when you don't flow, when something's blocking your well, your destiny stopped. All right? So, how are we going to go about this? How are we going to go living waters just flowing out of us? How are we going to go about this? We're going to go in and we're going to work in those wells to this season. We're going to work in those wells and we're going to get the things that are blocking us. We're going to remove those stones that are going to, we're going to cast them aside. And we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be flowing, living symbols that we're meant to be. Now, you can have amazing trips to heaven. You can see amazing things, all right? But if you have got blockages in your well, you're going to be walking out and living the same life. And that is not God's plan for you, all right? What His plan is for you to think and also change your environment, your resources, and your relationships. So what is your environment that He wants you to change? What if something that, just say if you're brand new and you brand new in the glory and you're discovering the glory and it's so fun, but meanwhile you actually got a problem with alcohol, all right? Let's say, God will overcome it, He loves you, overcome it. Let's say, well, changing your environment is that you don't go and sit in the pub every weekend. You know, you've also got to take a step. You know, you've got to make choices. So if you've got a problem with alcohol, don't go and meet all your buddies in the pub and go, oh, there's something, oh, I've got an alcohol problem. You know? I mean, hello. You know? If you've got a drug problem, don't go and sit with all your friends who are smoking and all the puffing smoke comes around you. Oh, I've got to have one by now. I mean, you stay away. You change your environment. Go make a step. Your resources, what you're taking in your heart comes out your mouth. If you really want to say, oh, I live by grace and I can watch whatever I like, you can, but you'll stay the same. I'm just telling you the honest truth. I'm telling you because what goes in your heart is going to come out your mouth. If you're going to be around people that you've got to go and help people, but when you're stronger, you can get there. And this is what we want in the series. It's, yes, you can cope with all that, but when you're still young and you're still new and you're standing with people that are bad-mouthing anything, you're putting it in your heart. Just let's grow strong first so you know how to just, you know, sweep it away when it comes. Do you understand what I mean? All right? And your relationships. If you're hanging around people that are negative all the time, well, it's very hard to be positive with that. You know? How's your day? Oh, gee, this is... And then every day you see them, they're getting bent over and bent over and bent over. You know? Like... Well, straighten up, man. It's like, there's the glory. What are you doing on the floor? You know, just, who are you hanging out with? Are people that, oh, hard life and hard, you know, everybody's got trials. I could sit here and all of you got 50 million trials and tribulations. And we all have. But are you focusing on that or are you focusing on God? Are you speaking goodness over your life or are you speaking negative? Because what you speak, I mean, look it up in Proverbs. I'm not just talking at my head. What you speak is your manifest. If you want to speak this badness over your life, it's okay, you come into a conference and there's so much glory and there's a glory cloud and you're relying on everybody else's glory. People that have come in and they've listened all week and they amped and they come in and they hand the glory out and you come in the glory and you walk out of the door and bing, bing, bing. You know? Well, I think the glory's going to fly off, you know? And you're back to the same old bing, bing love. Okay, so that's not what we want. All right. Well, I just feel that the power of God is really important in our lives. And power has got 5 letters and grace has got 5 letters. And once again, we've got double. And God showed me a vision, not when I was accepted, quite a while back. In any case, I was in the front and having a great time with God. And he showed me a vision. He snatched me up, Holy snatched me up and placed me in front of Jesus. And Jesus said to me, Michelle, do you want this fruit? And I said, wow, it was awesome. Of course I want it. Thank you. And he said, do you want this other fruit? And I said, gee, thank you, like a monkey with 2 fruits. And I'm like, wow. And he said, do you want the other one? I'm putting it under my chin. And I'm standing there like this. Wow. And then I went back and I said, no, I can't take any more because that's greedy. So he says, Michelle, do you want this basket? I said, Lord, it's greedy. He says, no, I'm going to teach you so many things. And that was the first day he started teaching me. He said, I'm going to teach you so many things. But what I'm going to teach you, that in the world, to take is greedy. But in my kingdom, where you take from me, you exalt me. And I said, Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. And what happens is the door opened and the angels came through and the baskets of fruit were just pouring through. And I wasn't sure, honest. I said, can I give them away? Like I thought, no, he's giving me something. But he said, that is kingdom living. That is what I want to see in this church today is kingdom living. And I said, I'm going to hand them out. And I started handing them out. But unfortunately, people didn't want to take from me. And don't worry, they're not here anymore, but they didn't want to take from me. And I gave them the fruit, and they said, I don't want to take from you, thank you. And other people took, and they gave it back to me. And some people took, and they left it to rot on the chair. And I went home, and my heart was absolutely broken. It was absolutely broken, and I spent time alone that Sunday with God. And I just couldn't talk to the family. I said, Lord, what has happened? Why is my heart broken like this? And he said, Michelle, that's one thing I want to show you is never have that pride where you feel you cannot receive from other people because you know it all already. He says, you have an open heart and everybody has got a fruit in them and they're just manifesting such goodness and color and beauty that if you do not take for them, their color and beauty will be blocked from you. And you will not receive from them. You see, that's a spirit of pride and self-reliance. Where I can do it myself. I don't need your help. But you know what? When Jesus was walking along this earth and he was telling me such a beautiful story. He says, I didn't always have my head in the heavens. He said, how I looked at what my Father was doing is I looked at the face of the people and I saw who God was touching and I knew then what my Father was doing. So I do what my Father is doing. So when I'm touching that person, I know then my Father, when my Father's touching that person, I know that that person, I can go there and that person will be healed. How you deal with what people are doing is not, you're not all going to have the vision of walking with your head in the cloud and say, God, what are you doing? Okay, I see you touching that one. Oh, cool. I'll come down now. I'll touch you. No, it's seen by your face and your receiving is who I must touch and who I must pray for because they are open. And I don't pray for everybody or touch everybody or give a word for everybody because I like to do what my Father is doing. And that is why you can work in the kingdom without getting tired. Because it's just glory. That's the energy flowing from your Father, and it's not works at all. It's beautiful. It's awesome to see God touching people like that. So we want to get these few things we want to clear up. We do not want to get pride or self-reliance on us. Those are a very big blocking wall. Okay, those are stones you want to cast out and you honor everybody because everybody has got Jesus in them. Okay? So who are you to say, I don't want to receive from that person? Who are you to do that? Because everybody's a treasure. When something goes wrong in your life, what is your default response? What is your default response? Do you run to 5 people and ask for prayer? Or please prophesy to me, please prophesy to me, please prophesy to me. Or do you go in your closet and speak to your dad? Because it's really important. It's good for people to pray for you. And so I've often asked my friends to pray for me. They've run over and prayed for me. There's a time, but there's a time also to strengthen yourself in the Lord. There's a time for you to grow up and rely on your dad and not the man next to you or the woman next to you. Okay, it's a time for you to say, Father, how are you going to change this pressure into a kingdom opportunity for me? How are you going to do it? I'm not standing here very lightly and saying I've been through nothing. I have been through a lot. A very, very, very lot, okay? But I have learned to say, Father, how are you going to change this for me? Because I cannot wait to see what this trial that I'm walking through, this fire that I'm walking through, I cannot wait to see how you're going to turn it around for good. Because then, if you will have a look at the world, that God touches the people that are in the world. He gives them lots of things as well. But He wants us to be able to be conquerors and to have a presence of joy and peace and love whilst we're going through the trials and tribulations. So how do you do that? You can only do that by keeping your eye on the Father. At all times, you've got to strengthen yourself in the Lord. You cannot keep on running and phoning and saying, I have got a problem. You've got to go to your closet and you say, God, show me now how you're going to change this around. And He wants to change it around so fast. He wants to do the best. This is your child. This is His child that He's looking at. He says, I am so tired of this person getting attacked. I just want to bring you up and exalt you. Just as much as the Father, you exalt the Father wants to exalt you. Another thing that we're going to go through is fear. Fear is the biggest stopping of God's provision in your life. Quite a while back, I was worshiping God. I worship God all the time, not only a while back. Sure. Okay, quite a while. I was worshiping God. And I got this vision, and it was this gold pipes coming down. Beautiful gold pipes. And I didn't say anything to anybody, and I kept it to myself, and I wrote it in my book. And I, what is this? And one Saturday morning, I'm hungry, don't worry. I'm hungry for the word, so I get Joseph Prince and all my contacts. I look. And Saturday morning, I put on Joseph Prince. And he said he had a vision. And I was like, what? And he said he had the vision of gold pipes coming down. And he said, when you fear, those gold pipes are absolutely like Plaster Paris. Plaster, what's that, that guy, Play-Doh? Yeah, whatever. And when you fear, those things twist. And it stops your blessing coming down. And that was from Joseph Prince. I was so excited. I was jumping up and said, Joseph Prince, I saw the same thing, but he didn't hear me. Okay. Fear is actually a sand in the machinery of life, and that's from E. Stanley Jones. When you got a, you guys would like, because when you got a machine, you got oil, you've oiled your lovely machine, and your kids have put sand on it, it goes clog, 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 clog. And if you leave it, because now you're irritated with your kids, and you leave it there, the sand will eventually get more and more, and your machine will stop. And that's the fear stops your provision in life. And you get two kinds of waves of fear. So let me get this right in your mind first before you cast every fear out. All right, there's two kinds of fear. One is from the devil, and then you know it's not in the word. But also one is from God. So when God says, you get the fear, don't go down that alley. Don't cast it aside and go down the alley. Okay? Because I was driving one day, and I got this fear, and God said, stop. And I got this fear, and I stopped, and it saved my whole family's life. So you, if it's from the devil, this fear, you know it's not exalting you, looking after you, loving you. It's a fear. Those are waves of fear. You can't get, you always live in this world, you always get waves of fear. But as I said, when we learn to fill yourself up with the presence of God, the waves of fear cannot get in you. I've been through a lot, and I know that fear, there's no room for you now. No more. You cast it aside, okay? But some people are sitting with an undercurrent of fear in their belly they don't even know about. And that fear puts you into a spiritual daze. It's absolutely dreadful. You start doing the doo-doos instead of listening to your God. You're so fearful of, I need money, and you got to work. I mean, really work, not work in the spiritual. Work. And then you're out till 9 o'clock for your family gets left behind. And you work, because I'm fearful I won't get food. Work. Get up 5 o'clock now. I've got to make Saturday. I've got to do Sunday. Sorry, church. I've got to work. That is a fear that is not of God. Firstly, you're casting your family aside. It's not of God. Okay? Secondly, you're casting your church aside. It's not of God. All right? Because we're all a body. We all need each other. So that's not of God. All right? So a misplaced fear puts you in a wrong place at all. And things start happening that are not meant to be. You've got to learn to cast it out. And there's lots of fears. There's fear of the future. In Matthew, it says, today. Tomorrow, it's got enough problems on its own. I live day by day. But I'm not stupid. I'm not an airhead. I run a business. I run my husband's business. I'm not silly. I'd know. But I live with the faith of God helping me out every single day. I live for today. I do not fear about next year or tomorrow. Fear persecution. If you're not on fire for God and persecution comes, you won't handle the fence and you'll run away. And then you could be running away from your destiny that God has planted you in this place, in this time, for a purpose. So if you cannot know the presence of God and you don't know how to handle this, all right, you will get a fence quickly. And you'll run away. It'll be very sad if I ran away a couple of years ago. Because I wouldn't be here today, would I? Don't be intimidated by people. Don't be backed in the hole, but honor them. Okay? God wants you on fire, but he wants you to have a correct mind. Also, you've got to fear of the supernatural. God is the creator of everything. God is he's a consuming fire. But he created everything. He created this earth. And when Jesus walked, he walked through people. He levitated. And when he went to another area, do you think he wasted his time for 20 days walking there? No. He transported there. So if somebody levitates or suddenly disappears or transports, well, that's God's creation. Don't run out of it scared. God's a good God. And you know what? The devil stole it from us. It's time to claim everything back. Everything that he's given us, it's time to claim back. Fear of failure. What if I step and do this and it fails? Well, if you already said that in your life, don't do it. Because it will fail. Because you've really put a bad thing on it, okay? But you've got to take a step. And God will always honor it. He will always look after you. He'll always love you. You've got to take a step. You cannot have a fear of failure. Fear of losing control. Well, if I had that fear, I wouldn't be here either. But you also get paralyzing fear. And Peter was on fire for God. And even though he made mistakes, God could work with Peter. And even though I made mistakes, God's working with me and he's working with you. I cannot fear man, but I do have the fear of God. And I do honor the people who are running this place. And when I do make mistakes and I do things wrong, all right, I quite happily will be corrected, and I will not take offense. And I believe you should all be the same. It's very nasty, is offense. Paul realized that the fear in Timothy was blocking the spirits in Timothy's life, and he fanned it into flames, and he did this by the laying of hands. And God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And even though you're going through so much, and you're sitting in your body, you're swimming through this. Just look. Hello, God. Woo! What are you going to do? If you're going through the fire, look. Because you know what? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They had such faith that when they stepped in that fire, Jesus was manifesting. Now we've got Jesus in us. When you have that faith, how much more will he manifest for you than those days? They had to have faith to manifest it. We don't. We do not have to have the faith. Jesus is our faith. As believers, the power and the energy which we do things is only through the Holy Spirit. You cannot do it on your own. You can only do it with the love and the fire of the Holy Spirit. But where do you spend your energy that is burning within you? Do you spend it on fear? Or do you spend it on positive, hopeful, good life? What you look at will manifest. My dad was an architect, and we went around the world with my dad. And he wasn't a Christian. He didn't know much about it. But I tell you now, God gave my dad an incredible arm to draw. And he just visioned these pictures, and they gave him a land like that. And we went all over the world with this. And he got the picture, and the next minute, there's a building. And if you can do that to my dad, how much more can he do with you? That he can give you a picture and you can bring it down here and it will be solid here on earth. And that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to bring the things down that he's given you. Are you all with me? Another thing. Okay, so we're not going to have pride anymore, are we? Is that stupid or what? Okay. All right, we're going to honor everybody that's in front of us, okay? We're not going to fear anymore because we're going to know how to deal with the fear, are we not? If you don't, you come to us, we'll help you. You cast down those waves of fear quickly. Cast down the thoughts in your mind because it's just a stupid thought. Okay. Next thing we're not going to have. We're not going to have a toxic nature of judging. Oh, so much is going on in this place. I cannot stand it. I love this place, sorry. But I can't stand the toxic nature of judgments. You know, there's a right to discern what's right from wrong. But if you're going to start judging people, when you judge somebody, you feel superior. You know what? That person went to Michelle and she did that. And, oh, I'd never do that. I would do that. Well, you come be me, stand in my shoes, and let's see what you'd really do. I would never do that, what James did. Oh, my word. I mean, because you feel so superior, I would handle it like that. That is judgment. Jesus didn't come to judge the world, so who do you think you are? Really? If you're going to sit and somebody's going to come to you and they're going to gossip about somebody, you say, I'm not interested. I'm telling you now, it's more important to live in the heavenly presence of God than the worldly presence and suck in this judgment and gossip. It's where you want to go in life. I'm telling you now, and I'm serious. If you want to miss this wave that's coming through, carry on judging. But you're going to be left at the back seat. And you must be on fire and just stop this gossip and this ugliness to people. Am I running out of time? Oh. change. It's all metanoia. This whole series is change your mindset, guys. It's change your mindset. It's you know, we've got to start at basic, and then we can go from there. But I took people from there, and I lost them because we never did basic. And you know, we all got to grow up. I'm getting there. Okay, sure. All right. If you can't allow people to enjoy God in their way of worship, it's actually your issue and not these. If you're going to sit and judge them and saying, oh, why are they like this? I don't know, maybe they're putting it on or they're doing that, and they want attention. Yeah, let's look at their fruits when they get up. Let's see, they're walking out and they keep on living in the bars and swearing. Look, I'm not wearing bars, I'm just giving you an example, okay? You know, if you want to go and have a drink, it's up to you. But I'm just giving you an example. But if you want to keep on living that lifestyle, and then you're coming in here and you're falling on the floor, I just think, well, but something's wrong here. You know, but in any case, they will help you. Let's instead of having a cynical and a critical spirit, let's have a kingdom mindset of the people. Let's give them a chance, because when they're in the spirit, that's when the healing comes. If they're lying down there and they're laughing, well, maybe they've had some tragic thing in their life that God's just pulled out. Who are you to judge? If they're enjoying his presence, maybe they've never laughed in 20 years. Let them laugh, you know? You know, if I had to walk into Highway and I had to be met by the prodigal son's brother, I would run out of here. And that's what religious judging is, the prodigal son's brother. And I don't mean when you meet them, the first day they meet them and have coffee, you're all so sweet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when they've been here for 3 weeks. And then, I don't like the way they look. I wonder if they've got a business. I wonder if they're even making money. I wonder what kind of house they got. Oh, I wonder if they got friends. Stop it. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. In other words, don't be concerned about your own needs anymore. Be interested in the lives of other people. Be in tune with their life. Show love and kindness to them. The world is seeking to exalt itself, but the brothers and sisters must seek to exalt its brothers and sisters, to lift them up with words of encouragement and love. Cut off judgments from now on. Please, let us walk together in unity. Let us walk. What church they're going to, well, welcome them in. It doesn't matter what church they're going to. You know, unity is going to bring revival. And it's God's heart is on us. And he wants to show us so many things. But we can't if we're sitting there in judgment. I've got a big one now. I thought the others were big, but this is big. Unbelief. Mark 6. Sorry, I've got things. If you want to check me out, please come. I've got everything with scriptures. Please. Is not this the carpenter's son? Mark 6, first one I've said, eh? And not his sisters here with us, and they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Well, what God showed me that we're going to be doing when these people come in, we're not laying hands on a few sick people. All right? We're going to walk past and people are coming out of wheelchairs and running up into this front. When James was taking fusion, I was sitting at the back with Fran and Shirley, and God gave me the image that we're going to wheel them through there. They're going to come out running to the front. And that's not laying hands on a few sick people. So we've got to believe the word of God that he's saying right now, tonight. We've got to believe that this is going to happen. You see, what's happened is the life of a child, unbelief affects the life of a child of God. Negative spiritual effects. If unbelief breaks us off from God's plan on our lives, because he's giving you this awesome plan, but you actually don't believe it. Why should he do it for me? He'll only do it for her. He won't do it for me. I'm just sitting there doing nothing. No, you're actually not sitting there doing nothing. You're actually doing something sometime. Okay? Unbelief stops us entering God's rest because you've got to work. He'll never, never supply my needs. I've seen God supply my needs past the date. Not on the date. When I nearly lost my house, and it was serious because this is my house, this is my kids, and my family are very important to me. And when I nearly lost my house because of finances, I asked James and Corrine to pray for me, and they were praying for me. And the next day, in the morning, I went back to the office and I was working. And by Friday, we got a letter to say Friday they're going to take away our house. If we do, we're 3 months behind on our bond. And Peter Haynes wasn't there. And he didn't know anything about it. And he inboxed me and he said, I've got a message from God to you that you must give everything. You must give the boat, the fishing rod, the net, everything. And James and Corrine had said, I've got to give everything to God. And this was such a big confirmation. And it's not easy handing everything over. It's like, take it back, take it back. And I said, no. Your promises to me that you'll never leave me nor forsake me, I'm giving you my house. If you take this house, Lord, then you're going to give me a better one. Because I am a child of God. I'm living in the heavenlies. I am your precious child. You're going to give me a better house. Much better house. I relaxed. I worked. I'm not stupid. I relaxed. Okay? And I worked, and then nothing came through. And Friday was the D-Day, and nothing came through. I went out that Friday night, and I went into worship. My husband thinks I'm mad. In any case, don't worry about it. And then I went on Sunday, and I worshipped, and I had a joy with God, and such visions, and such. And my house was gone. I said, well, Lord, I'm waiting to see this big house you got for me. I want my mansion now. No, I'm waiting for heaven. I want it now. And on Monday morning, a client phoned me and said, listen, Michelle, we have got 80 kids stranded. Can you find us accommodation? We've got the cash on us. Well, Monday morning, I went around in some strange parts of town by myself, white woman in the black area. Sorry, guys, but it was like hectic. And I was walking around with my tour guide, also African guy. He's a very Christian guy. Oh, he's just come from church. And awesome guy. He's a tour guide I've got in Durban. And we're walking around looking for accommodation. And these people's like, hotel, what do you two want? And I, oh gosh. Okay, I'm going through this. In any case, I found a hotel in the Berea, standing with the African guy. Can we have a look at your rooms? You know? And I'm walking up in the room, you know, In any case, I called the people in. I was back there at 2 o'clock, and then they tried to do a snare. They went to my tour guide and said, if we book through you, we'll cut you out. And he said, you book through me, I'm charging you three times as much. And they came to me, and then it was pouring rain. And I'm sitting there with 60,000 rand on me and the pouring cash all over my lap, you know. That's mine. In any case, I managed to get 1 month's rent, bond. I phoned my husband and I said, meet me at home. I'm drenched. I'm sopping wet. I've got 1 month. You're going to meet me at home and you're going to take it to the bank and you're paying for it. I'm not going to the bank. We met him. We were so excited. We counted all the, we put it through. That fit the walls off. And the next day, my husband got a contract where he managed to pay the balance at the end of the month. God comes through, guys. And it's not just for me. Really, it's for everybody. But you've got to give him everything. And it's hard, but you've got to do it. And once you do it, it's awesome. Okay, so. There. Unbelief, it comes when we get offended with God. When you feel that, you know, God, I want this. There's another machine, and he doesn't come through, and you get offended. Why haven't you done this for me? What's happening? This is the plan. God has got a good plan. And maybe it's not your plan, because it's not. You've run your life for so long, and it hasn't come out very good, has it? So maybe he's just got a better one for you than you're doing at the moment. So just try and just relax and say, Lord, I actually trust you on your plan and not my plan. Because my plan for the last couple of years, I'm still young, didn't work very well until I gave it to God. We get disappointment when we don't deal with disappointments in a healthy way. When you get a disappointment, deal with it in a healthy way. When unbelief comes and we refuse to believe the witness of others concerning the things of God, when somebody comes up to you and says, this is what God did in my life. Da, 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 da. Oh, yeah. Oh, she's telling a story again. That's unbelief. All right? Unbelief comes through mockery and stubbornness in your life. I find myself disappointed, even offended, that God doesn't seem to work as I want him to work, and my prayers answered like I should. Other people are getting their prayers answered. Why aren't I? I think they're lying. That's unbelief. And your mind goes, tick, 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 tick. I want to see the proof of this. That person said they healed, but they healed inside. You know, you can't cut them open and see they healed. You've got to believe. I doubt really that person speaks to or using them as they claim. Because you know what? I had somebody come up to me. It was a pastor. He says, I don't believe God's touching you like you are. Because I only laughed once in my life. And I went to Howard Brown, and I fell off the chair, and I laughed. And I never laughed again. Well. Sorry. I'm sorry for you. Okay. Sorry to the pastors, but that's what they said. Okay. It was long ago. Okay, revival. In revival is God going after your hearts. And when God grabs your hearts and he deals with your hearts and he grips it, you've got to be aware that God is with you all the time. You've got to be aware that you just step into the presence of God like just like that. God is alive. Unbelief is you don't actually believe God is around. You actually don't want to believe God is around because you're still carrying on with your old lifestyle. And you don't want God to see what you're doing, but he actually is seeing what you're doing because he's right in you and around you. But you think in your mind, I'm not going to change my mind because then God is going to see what I'm doing and then hell, that's hectic. Okay. But he loves you. All right. He loves you. He's got a passion about your life. He created you. All right. Stop worrying about the external, what you're doing. Worry about the internal. That's God wants to see your heart. He really wants to see your heart burning for him, realizing that he is there for you. He is alive, and he is well, and he's got everything in control. So stop taking it over because you don't believe in him. I believe fear of the Lord is actually the awareness of God in you and around you. That's what I believe. I believe that God gazes at me all the time. I believe he's so in love with me. He's a mighty God, and he's committed himself to me full. He's my Father. I believe totally that he says, oh, sit on my lap again. I just love it when you sit on my lap. I love it when you put your head on my shoulder. I love it when you just come into my presence and you just feel me around, because that is what God's heart, that is revival. That is revival, when he wants to grip your heart and he wants to change your heart to know that he is here. He's gazing on you. He's loving on you. Be aware of his presence at all times. Now, you can come to a glory conference. You can come to a worship on Sunday. You can rely on everybody else's anointing. Right? But it's where you really matter is when you're at home by yourself, going through your trials and your tribulations. Are you aware that God is with you? Are you aware that he's your Father? He's given you everything plus his Son. Everything that he can give. Are you aware that your Father's sitting in the bedroom with you? Do you wake up at night and say, Dad, what have you got for me? I'm awake. What are you doing for me today? Holy, 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 holy. What is happening? I'm awake. Can we do anything today? What is awesome going to happen today? What is the change in my life going to happen? Where am I going to bear some more fruits? Where am I going to just extend myself over the nations? That's my heart. That's my heart to say, come on. Let God grip your heart and say, I'm alive. I'm actually standing here. Michelle, you know you dropped a hair this morning. My word. As long as I'm not like a guy and drop all of them, eh? The unbelief is at the core of our soul. And if we don't get our soul in line with our spirit, well, guys, what you believe is what you truly are. You got to believe that God is manifesting in you, around you, and about you. But a lot of us sit with our external beliefs. Sorry. He wants to deal with only our external belief. You know, I used to say, oh, James, man, if I could just be like that person, they just put scripture after scripture after scripture. Man, I can't even know where the scripture is. I go, oh, hold on. Let me go home quickly. Do, 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 do. You know, he said, you know, that's not important, because that's an external. That's an external when you just talk it and you don't believe it. When somebody comes up to you with a problem and in your heart flows out for the love of God and you just extend your heart out to them, that's internal, giving your love over to people. External is when you just say, Psalm 132. Da, 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 and that person's gone through hell and back, and you're just giving them a cold word. That's not going to help them. And they're just going to go out, and they're going to be the same. And they're like, what a bunch of wallies. Really. What a bunch of wallies. When you sing in the morning, and you say, oh, you're so ever faithful, that you're never faithful to me. Why don't you add that in? Because you all sing it, but you don't believe it. Oh, you just love everybody else but me. I mean, why don't we just change the words? Because that's what's happening. It's all external. You know? I don't even sing because I haven't got a voice. But besides that, it's sing from your heart. Not, praise, 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 three praises. Like a cup of coffee for me. I don't believe what Jesus is doing. He's departed, he's cool and he's calm, and he's left me alone as usual. The Lord wants to kindle that fire that's in you. He wants to burn that wood that's in you. He wants to put it out to the flame. He wants you to call on the name of the Lord, and he wants you born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gets you through everything. Yeah? He'll even find you a nice husband or a wife. And he will. God wants you to realize that when you're facing him, that this is a partnership. He doesn't expect you to say, Dad, do everything for me. I think too much of you to do that, Michelle. What are you talking about? We are in a partnership. Let's do it together. Let's flow together. Let's talk together. Let's praise together, because when you've got me and I've got you, everything will be super duper. Right. Okay. God is a rewarder for those who seek Him. And what does a reward mean? It means He sees you all the time. He watches you all the time. He knows what's going on in your life all the time. So He has to just say, I reward you. I know what's going on. I reward you. This is my time. God is alive and He cares for your heart. He cares for the things that you're doing. He cares for your life. He cares for your circumstances. He cares for your finance. He cares for your babies if you're pregnant. He cares for everything in your life. He cares about you. Don't think that something's happened to you that God does not care about you. It's a circumstance that you're going through. Walk through the fire. Manifest God's presence around you. Look at Him face to face. It's an awesome to see that fire out of His eyes. See Him face to face. Walk through your own. I was sitting in my office and God gave me 5 wells. And I said, Lord, what's this? I'm sitting in my office. He said, I want you to quickly, I'm not going to tell you who they are. I want you to go through down these wells quickly. And a guy came to me on Tuesday and he says, you know what? You're going to disappear at your office. You're going to go down people's wells and you're going to disappear for a while. But don't worry about it, because everybody knows that you've gone and that you'll come back one day. Hey. So I'm writing letters to my husband. How to look after the kids. The last one I want to do quickly, 5 minutes, eh? I've got 5 minutes, is control. Many people welcome spontaneous zeal as long as there's not too much of it. And we pray for this wind of the Spirit and the mighty rushing wind. But shh, 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 shh. It's too much. Shh, shh, shh. This attitude is manifested throughout the churches. And the power and the presence must be tidy, controlled. I'm finding it very hard to control this, but hey, I'm doing well, James. Yeah. Every major move has been criticized by people. And if you take the Jesus movement, the freaky Jesus guys, you know what they did? They got hold of Georgian Benoff. And they loved him and they fed him, and he was an atheist. They loved him, the Jesus freaks. Loved him and fed him. And you know what? He's touching thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And those 10 people that were Jesus freaks that everybody else criticized is standing in line to receive those thousands and thousands and thousands of people in their line as well. If I touch one person, just one person, and you go out and you touch 40,000 people, wow, what an honor it is for me. Hey? That is my heart. We want to see the Holy Spirit move in this place. We really do. But sometimes He packages it with offense. And where we're going to get over this fence is that you're going to know your identity in Christ. And you know that if somebody's having a good time with Dad, okay, if somebody's really having a good time with Dad, you don't have to feel jealous. You know why? Because you know your identity in Christ. You know that you're a son and your daughter, and God is touching you differently. I mean, if you go to Peter Haynes doesn't jump around like me, but if you go near Peter Haynes or James, whoa, there was like fire. Okay? Other people, many people have an opportunity to be offended once they're born again because they identify with Jesus Christ. They take a stand for the Lord, and family members or neighbors attack them, and someone at their job can make fun of them. Might happen to you, but don't worry about it. Other people have an opportunity to be offended over the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there are people who flow in the power of the Holy Spirit if they weren't talked about. Others would be on fire. This would be a spirit-filled church if they didn't take such flack from their friends. I'm not going to do this, and I don't want to be touched like this, because that person is going to say something. And in case of public image, they don't want to be identified with those who are sold out for Jesus, because they might get offended. And it's very, very sad. Because at the end of the day, who are you spending time with? In eternity. Are you spending time with your Father? or you're going to spend a time with somebody who's offended you. If you like to get the fence get in your way, it'll separate you. You'll be sitting at the back or waiting for a wheelchair. So when you turn 85, you can get one. We're going to get lots of them coming through, a lot of free ones. So you can either wait for that wheelchair so we can wheel you out, or you can sit at the back and say, no fire, flames at the back. Or you can have a choice, and you can run in the front, and you can receive the goodness of God over your life. And I just want to pray that the fire of heaven falls on you. I just want to pray that you be inflamed with Jesus' Spirit in you. I want to lay hands. I want to get a few people up here. I'm just going to call the people that I want up here. I want you to go through. I want that these things that are in you, do not be scared to start getting them out of you right now and changing your lifestyle. Because if you're going to go through the same old lifestyle, mixing with the same people, walking the same way, well then, there's other people that are going to be pulling in here. And God showed me that we must be pillars of salt. We must be strong. And we must go to them and we'll just say, wow, touch them, fall down, healed, next one. Because we haven't got time. It's like a conveyor belt. I pray that you don't get distractions. All right? And all distractions are destroyed in Jesus' name. I pray that he lights such a fire of hunger in you that you want the word, you want the Bible, you want sermons. You're just so hungry that you wake up and you say, Jesus, I want to see you manifesting something by my bed. I want to see you face to face tonight when I worship you tonight. I want, as I go through the fire tunnel, everything that is in me that is stopping the river flow, I just want it released right now. I want this water to flow. I want the people standing here, coming through here to touch me, Lord, and to change me and give me the fruits that you've got designed for me, to give me the word that you've got in my heart to overflow, that I will be something for somebody. In the business world, I will touch somebody and I will manifest so much money that I'll be a person that is an oak tree and just got oaks and oaks of money and just handing them out to the people that need it. And I'm just going to be a person of giving, loving, honoring. And I'm not going to be a person of judging anymore. I'm not going to have the spirit of fear. I'm not going to have a spirit of control. I'm going to have a spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I want a freedom in this church. I want freedom in this place. And the only way we can have freedom is we take a step and change ourselves as well. We live in grace, but you have to take a step. And I just pray that the Lord Jesus just shows you the step to take in your life, that he changes you from glory to glory to glory. And I just pray now that the people I'm going to call up is going to touch your lives completely right now. I want James, I want Peter, I want Fran, I want Shirley, I want Peter, I want Teresa. Everybody else, I want through. Can I have the band up, please? Thank you very much, guys, for being patient with me.